Please turn to Mark chapter 6. In your Bibles, Mark chapter 6. And we will start at verse 30 this morning, read up to verse 52. A couple of events in Christ's life along with his disciples we'll look at this morning. So Mark chapter 6, starting with verse 30. Let's read through this passage and we'll come back and look closely at it. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught, and they had, of course, been sent out by Jesus. Jesus had given them authority over evil spirits, and they were going around teaching and having ministry in people's lives, of course, and now they're reporting back to him. Verse 31, then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So here's Jesus trying to provide for his disciples. We'll see that that didn't actually take place. Verse 32, so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we going to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 150s. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the 4th watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Well, that the Gospels are not just filled with Jesus' teaching, but also include what he did in his ministry. It tells us God wants us to learn from Christ's actions and not just his words. We don't have the Gospels just full of Jesus' teaching, all red letters, and then the account of the cross. We have accounts of what Jesus did in his life, right? Just like we read here. So it's clear that we need to look at what he did in his life and not just the words that he taught, and both are equally as important. So, and it's also clear that God is showing us through the life of Christ in these Gospels how Christ ministered to people, how he carried that ministry out. So that's a wonderful thing that we have this great blessing in God's Word. We have Jesus' teaching and the way that Jesus lived. So we open God's Word and we see what's in it. And as always, when we have clear teaching from the Word, we are obligated to do what we see. When we see teaching and doctrine, we look at that and we say we need to live according to that. When we see how Jesus lived his life, because we're supposed to be like Christ, we need to live according to that as well. We've often talked about the fact that, you know, we can serve the Lord in the way we want to, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we serve the Lord the way God has instructed us to do that. That's why it's so very important that we go to God's Word when we want to know how to serve Him. In other words, serve Him in the biblical way. So, for example, a ministry that is void of compassion does not follow the example that we have from Christ. You probably noticed the word compassion in our passage this morning. And we're going to talk about that compassion this morning and serving the way Christ served, the way Jesus served, and that involved having compassion for people. So as we look at that this morning, let's be asking ourselves, what role does compassion play in our service, in our ministry? Who do you serve? What does God have you doing in your life right now? Who has He brought into your life that you are having ministry opportunities with, and are we serving compassionately? We can serve rotely. We can have opportunities and maybe even serve out of guilt, but we need to ask ourselves, are we biblically serving? And that would have to include having compassion on people. And it's a good barometer of knowing that that ministry is from the Lord as well. So does compassion have a place in our ministry at this time? Think about the people you're serving or the ministry that you're involved with. If we want to be like Christ, it has to be. So the compassion of Jesus should play a significant role in shaping our ministry. And well, what ways should Christ's compassion impact how we serve Him? And certainly anyone we serve here on the earth is an opportunity to serve the Lord at the same time, and ultimately is what we're doing. How should Christ's compassion, have an impact on how we serve Him? Well, we're going to look at some of these ways, and there's a typo in there, so that last sentence right above our first point should read, we'll look at some of these ways as Jesus, in the midst of His ministry, showed compassion to those around Him. So if you want to write in there, showed compassion. We'll look at some of these ways as Jesus, in the midst of His ministry, showed compassion to those around Him. And again, we want to look at Jesus' serving, His ministry, and the compassion that He had on people, and how it should shape our ministry. So number one, Christ's compassion should define the scope of who we serve. Christ's compassion defines the scope of who we serve. And I want us to back up a couple of verses before this passage that we started in verse 32. Back up to verse 30. Because it's going to have an impact on what we're looking at here. This story we have of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And of course we know that there was probably a lot more than 5,000 because there were just 5,000 men there. And logically, we would think that there would be women and children as well. But at least 5,000 were there. So, but as we see Jesus getting ready to do this great miracle, the fish and the loaves, we're going to make sure that we don't miss what happened before that. So, again, back to verse 30, it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all that they had done and taught. So, back up to chapter 6 in verse 7, it says, calling the 12 to Him, He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were His instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake off the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed sick people with oil and healed them. Then you have the account of John the Baptist being murdered. And then we come to verse 30, where it has the apostles coming back to Jesus and reporting to him all that they had done and taught. Now think about what they had just been doing. And I'm not sure if we have a record of how long they had been away, but you would think that traveling to all the different places they were going, this would have been quite the extensive ministry and quite the exhaustive ministry, I would think. They were involved in people's lives. They were involved in dealing with evil spirits. And so if you think about serving, and when you get involved in somebody's life, that can be physically exhausting and spiritually exhausting as well. So they came back, and Jesus wanted to right away minister to them. He was showing his compassion for them. He says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So that's what was going on here. That was Jesus' goal at this point as he was trying to minister to his disciples. But sometimes we run into the difficulty that things don't go according to our plans. Have you ever planned something, maybe even some service to somebody, and then something else gets in the way? Maybe you get a phone call, or maybe somebody knocks on the door, and you're thinking, I don't have time for this. I've got this plan, I've got that plan, and now this person's showing up. I'm trying to do something good. And right away, we probably have a negative thought to that person or those people who are interrupting our plans. We call that a nuisance, right? And that irritates us when people interrupt our plans. So here is Jesus. His plan was to get his disciples someplace where they could have a quiet place to get some rest. And before that, it says they did not even have a chance to eat, so that was probably something he had planned for them as well. Get them something to eat and get them some place to rest. So verse 32, they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So Jesus' plan to minister to his disciples was at least put on hold at this point. But how did Christ respond to that? Did he see these people as a nuisance? He did not. His plan was to go to a quiet place, give his disciples a chance to rest, minister to his disciples at this point. However, with the crowds following his every move, this was almost impossible, humanly speaking. And you look at this crowd, and Jesus knew that this crowd was not coming to give him anything. They were following him, clearly, for what they could get from him. So this tells us, among other things, that ministry with compassion, and that's the way Jesus ministered, that's the way he did things, is not looking for what it thinks it might get in return. In a broader context, Jesus knew that he would be forsaken by all, right? Even his disciples. And he knew that his disciples, as according to Scripture, would turn away from him at the end. But here was a perfect opportunity to say to a group like this, if he had no compassion, was to say to them, I don't have time for you. Here is my plan to minister to my disciples at this point. You'll have to wait. So go away. He sent them away later, so he had the power to make them leave, to go away. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But at this point, he had compassion on these people. So let's read that again. And he says, verse 33, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. He had compassion. They were people who had no direction, and they needed to hear the truth, and this is what Jesus provided. He didn't look at them and say, these are people that are just getting in my way when I have plans to do something else. He saw the need that they had. So we need to be very careful of the filters that we use when we decide who we will serve or to whom we will minister. If we don't have compassion, we're going to have difficulty making good decisions when it comes to this. You know, in this crowd of over 5,000, there would have been people with all kinds of histories and pasts. The people with pasts are why Jesus came. So you think about a group this large, 5,000 people and larger, and there were probably people within that group that other people avoided, wouldn't you think? There were probably people within that group that maybe didn't look very nice on the outside. Maybe didn't smell very nice. Maybe didn't act the way the normal people act. Maybe were a little eccentric. Maybe people who others tried to avoid. But Jesus didn't. He didn't avoid them. I wonder if we will decide that some are not deserving of our service when the opportunity is there or when they come to us. I wonder if we have ever neglected people that God has given us opportunity to serve because we felt that they were a nuisance or maybe they were beneath our service. Jesus is the only one that could have said, "You are not deserving of my ministry." But he showed compassion instead. So really, who are we to think we're above serving anyone else? So we need to look at Jesus, how he acted, not just the words that he taught, but how he acted. When people came to him that had probably no inkling of giving him anything and were there just to take and take, Jesus showed them compassion. And he ministered to them. Even though they disrupted his plan. Even though he was planning on doing something else at that point, he showed them compassion. He cared about them. It's a very good example for us. The compassion of Jesus should play a significant role in shaping our ministry. We need to be careful of those filters where we say, no, not this person, yes, that person, or no, not that person. Well, a filter we may use is whether, another one is whether or not we think we will be effective in serving someone or in some way. You ever do that? You ever not take an opportunity for ministry because you don't think you can do it? Well, the compassion of Jesus speaks to this as well. So number two, Christ's compassion provides the confidence in which we serve. So first of all, it provides the scope. Who do we serve? And really the answer to that is the people that God bring into our lives and not turning people away. But secondly, Christ's compassion provides the confidence in which we serve. So we'll start here with verse 35. So it says, "By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him." This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to their surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" So I want to focus here on the disciples' response for just a little bit. Really, they had told Jesus that it's not really feasible, it's not practical to feed these people. So let's send them away to get something else, go someplace else and get something to eat. And they didn't want to spend the money on it. I don't know if they had that much money. We know Judas kept the bag of money, but these types of funds, I don't know if they would have had that much. But really their answer to Jesus was, when he said, "You give them something to eat," their answer to him was, that's not really a good thing to do. So the disciples wanted to send them away to get something to eat, but Jesus took the opportunity to not only provide physically for this mass of people, but he also reminded his disciples of a very important truth. And this being that very soon, the way that needs would be met after Jesus left, the way that needs would be met would be through Christ's followers serving in Christ's power. He was going to give them an example of that. So he told them to give them something to eat. The disciples, in essence, replied, "Couldn't be done. It's not really practical." The disciples, who had seen the power of Christ in amazing ways just days or hours before, had forgotten with whom they were speaking. Not only were they able to do amazing things, casting out evil spirits and healing through the power of Christ, but if you look at the previous chapters of all the miracles that Jesus himself had done, healing different people and other things they weren't too far removed from that, and yet now they're struggling to do what Jesus tells them to do. So he tells them, let's feed these people, and right away their response, well, it can't be done. So they had missed what Jesus is trying to teach them. So he proceeds to carry out his compassion for the people. He also carries out this miracle in a way that includes the disciples, if you notice. He reminds them that nothing is impossible with Christ. So Jesus could have done this without having the disciples gather any food, right? But he gets them to gather the food so that he can give them the example of very little food being available, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I think it's very specifically done this way so that he can teach them, as they were going to be serving many people in the very near future in significant ways, so that they could learn that through the power of Christ, through trusting him to provide for them in ministry, they would be able to serve. So Christ's power should have given them confidence to say, yeah, we don't have much, but we have seen enough already that in the power of God, through Jesus' power, you don't need much when it comes to Christ, as he is the source of the serving. So obviously it's easy for us to look back and say, well, these silly disciples, why weren't they trusting Jesus? They had seen so much already. They had learned so much from him already. They had even seen that through themselves, Christ could work through themselves. And again, another thing that they should have learned a great deal from. But they weren't trusting, and therefore, if we're not trusting in Christ, then we're trusting in ourselves, and then when we trust in ourselves, there is very little confidence often. And that's what was happening here. But when we connect the great power that is available to us with the knowledge that Jesus desires to help people and change people's lives, we should be serving in great confidence. Christ loves and saves his people, and he has chosen to use us as the vessels of ministry. We overemphasize the importance of our ability in meeting the needs of others. God's work has a lot less to do with our wise and persuasive words and much more to do with the Spirit's power. It's not to say that we should not be handling the word of truth wisely, of course. We know that we're supposed to do that. But so often we think that we are the ones that makes this ministry successful or not successful. Ours is to obey. Ours is to use the gifts that we are given to the best of our ability. And God will determine the outcome of the ministry. So we need to remember, Jesus loves his people. Jesus shows compassion on his people, and now we are to be the servants of Christ. If we serve in the power of Christ, then we should be confident that we can be successful in that ministry. We can't forget Christ's compassion, though. He is compassionate upon people, and therefore that compassion can flow through us if we are trusting him. If we serve in our own strength, then of course, we should not expect compassion to come through, but serving the way Christ served with compassion and serving in the power of Christ give us great confidence to have a compassionate ministry. So the compassion of Jesus should play a significant role in shaping our service and shaping our ministry. Well, let's move on. In these passages, these different accounts of Jesus' life, it's not only the crowds that were recipients of the compassion of Christ. His servants received it as well. So thirdly, Christ's compassion supplies us with the faith we need to serve. So we'll come back to the disciples here. We only see the word compassion in these passages once, but Christ's compassion is clearly seen here at least 3 times. The first one we looked at briefly already, Jesus is trying to provide for his disciples. They needed food and rest. They had just been traveling, involved in intensive ministry, dealing with demons and casting out demons and healings. So that was there, verses 31 and 33 to 33. Secondly, similar to the first, they're still needing to get rest, and he sends them away while he deals with the crowd. So you see in verse 45, after the miracle of the fish and the loaves, he says immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida. So he was trying to accomplish this earlier. Huge crowd comes along, changes the plans. Jesus has compassion on them, ministers to the large crowd, but now it gets back to his disciples. He made them get into the boat while he dismissed the crowd. So he deals with the crowd. He says to them, "You go." Again, trying to get them away so that they can get some rest. So finally, we see his compassion to his disciples when they were afraid. What did he do? He comforted them. And in that comfort, these disciples are still trying to grasp who Jesus is and still not having much success at this point. So in verse 47, it says, "When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land." So Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. Jesus often desired to get away to pray, and then now the disciples are having difficulty out in the water, trying to row against the wind, and that's where Jesus meets them in the middle of the lake. So he's walking on the water. Of course, if you're in a boat and you see somebody walking on the water, that's going to cause some concern. And not being used to seeing people walk on the water, the disciples automatically assumed that this was not a person in the normal sense. They jumped to the conclusion that this must have been a ghost, and therefore they were terrified. And look at what happens there. Verse 50, "Because they all saw him and were terrified." They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. "Immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.'" And it seems like a small thing, but I don't want us to gloss over that word "immediately." He didn't leave them there to be afraid. He cared about them. Out of his care and love for his disciples, he did not let them remain afraid for any amount of time at all. He says, "Immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" He quickly put them at ease. Now, they were amazed. In verse 51, he said, "Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down." They were completely amazed. They were amazed, but they were no longer afraid because Jesus was with them. And again, they had, and it says, "For they had not understood about the loaves, their hearts were hardened." Again, they're just missing the power of Christ and what he can do. But here is a tender and special way that Jesus showed his care. We can say compassion for his disciples. He protected them and he provided for them. And when they were afraid, he calmed their fears. Now the same is true for us. God tells us to cast our cares upon him, and we don't need to be afraid. How many times have we seen the obvious hand of God working in our lives? The compassion of Christ in our lives reminds us that we don't have to be afraid as we serve him. And sometimes that fear stops us from serving him. Back to having confidence in the power of Christ instead of ourselves. But he's never let us down. He's tender, he is loving, he's always there when we need forgiveness. Christ is compassionate towards us. Our faith should be strengthened each time we are reminded of his care. He is never going to leave us so that we can be in a place that we can't rebound from, or be in a place where he's not going to provide for us. He's promised to give us everything we need, and yet we still struggle to trust him in our ministry. We still say, "Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I don't know how to do that," or what have you. So it's hard for us, just like it was for the disciples, to serve in a way, even though they've seen Jesus' provision for them. It's hard for them to serve and live in faith. But they should have, just like you and I should have. should. The compassion of Jesus should play a significant role in shaping our ministry. Our ministry should be done with boldness and certainly with compassion. So Jesus showed compassion on people who would soon turn their back on Him. So again, we see that His compassion was not motivated by what He could receive in return. We have to be very careful about how we disqualify people from our list of whom we think are worthy of our ministry. There's no one beneath us. Even if we feel like they're an inconvenience, if God is bringing them into our lives, we need to have compassionate ministry with them. Jesus showed His disciples that meeting people's needs does not depend on what they can do, but what God can do. And He can do anything He wants to. The disciples said, "We can't feed these people. Let's get them out of here. Let's send them to the surrounding villages. Let's let them get something to eat. We don't have any food, and the food that we have is very minimal, rather. Can't do it." Let's be reminded that we should have great confidence in our ministry because we can have great confidence in the Lord. And this is where the true power of ministry always comes from, if it's legitimate. Being done in the power of God, and certainly with compassion. And Jesus also showed His disciples that He is trustworthy and that they do not need to be afraid. He cared for them. When He saw they were afraid, He immediately, out of His compassion for them, calmed their fears. He cares for us and has compassion on us as well. We can trust Him always to care for us as we seek to serve Him. We do not need to be afraid. If we're serving in His power, we can confidently and with compassion serve those He's brought into our lives. So whatever we fear in our service for Him and others is unfounded. It does not come from the Lord, that fear. The compassion of Jesus should play a significant role in shaping our ministry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would help us to understand what a privilege it is to serve You. Please help us to understand how crucial it is that we go to Your Word to learn how to serve You. And please give us the compassion in our hearts for others that Christ had, and help us to serve like He did. And we ask this in His name.